This is the BrizNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to the BrizNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully with you for your hour, HRRN Nation. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. I'd like to talk about whatever you would like to talk about. 888-966-4776 is the number. That's 888-966-4776. James, we're in the time of year where it's just nonstop fun things happening in the world of racing, whether you've got big events at Saratoga, at Del Mar, other parts of the country. We are right in the thick of it, my friend.
Absolutely, Bobby, and it's always good to be on with you this evening. Look forward to taking some phone calls from our listeners. You're right. I mean, this is a I'm excited for this weekend. I'm excited to see Life is Good return to a mile and an eighth and square off against Olympiad. It's a big time matchup. Last weekend, we got a really big time performance from Epicenter, who's going to be the favorite in the Travers against Cyberknife and others. And yeah, there's plenty of other graded stakes, especially for the 3-year-old males and fillies on the turf as well this weekend.
Wait a minute. You don't think Rich Strike will be favored in the Travers against Epicenter and Cyberknife?
No. And you know, I think that. You know, I don't really have exactly a really – I know Epicenter will be favored, but, like, where, you know, a horse like Cyberknife or Charge It or Nest or Taiba even. I saw that story today where Gary Young, the racing manager for Zidane Racing Stables, was, like, with Taiba. They were like, yeah, we're planning on going to the Travers and then Pennsylvania Derby. So I guess he would need to be transferred to John Terranova, but that would be awesome if you had a lineup where you had Epicenter – Zandon, Cyberknife, Charge It, and Nest, and others in there. It just could be a really deep, exciting race. So, yeah, I mean, that's still to come later this month. But I do think it's great. Look forward to hearing some thoughts from you about Life is Good and Olympiad squaring off in the Whitney this Saturday.
By the way, I know this is going to bother some of our listeners, but I talked about it earlier. I said, I think – if Rich Strike runs poorly in the Travers, and I don't know if he will. I've been very outspoken as saying that I think he's the worst Derby winner of my lifetime. I think he's an allowance horse that won the Kentucky Derby on a day that 7 or 8 horses who were better than him just did not fire their best shot. I could be grossly wrong, and no matter what, he won the Kentucky Derby, and you know, a lot of people can say you can just stick that in your you-know-what and enjoy it. I think he should point for the claiming crown jewel. It's at Churchill Downs. It's a mile and an eighth. He qualifies because he's run for a claiming tag of $35,000 or less in 2021 or 2022. And it would certainly be a boon to the claiming crown. I know he's not going to do it. He doesn't ever have to run again. But I think that's his best chance at another win.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I understand as far as when. I mean, I think, like, for the connections, you know, you're looking at a horse. He went from the Derby to the Belmont. Now he's looking at going from the Belmont to the Travers. I think they would like to run third, even if they ran fourth. If it was a real deep field, that wouldn't be a bad result, and they could still move forward off of that. But if you're running up the track, then yeah, it's like really a situation, what do we do? So they just need an encouraging showing from him. He didn't run very well in the Belmont Stakes, Rich Strike.
No, and I know they blamed the trip and the ride and this and that on it. I know that there were several of us out there who didn't really give him much of a chance in that race anyway, and I thought he ran his race. He just wasn't as good as them. We'll see what happens in the Travers as he faces even a deeper field, as you mentioned, Epicenter, Cyberknife, possibly Taba going in the race. Maybe one of the Chad Brown runners, Zandon, or early voting could point there as well. Should be a fun race later on in the meet. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776 is the number. Before we look ahead to this weekend, James, I'd love your thoughts on what we saw from the Steve Asmussen runners at Saratoga this past weekend. Jackie's Warrior getting his third grade one win in consecutive years at Saratoga, the first horse to ever win a grade one in three consecutive years up at the Spa. Epicenter overcoming another poor start and closing from last to win easily in the Jim Dandy. And then Gunite really taking a whole bunch of heat early on and outlasting the up-and-coming Accretive in the Amsterdam. Was a big weekend for Asmussen and three spectacular performances.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Jackie's Warrior, I mean, but that was just easy peasy, really. Like, Joel Rosario was never going to ride him, was just going to sit chilly and make it a public workout. And, you know, kudos to him. It's incredible. I mean, you know, we asked the question in, like, a little roundtable I do with Vance Hansen and Kelly Riley about, you know, is he gliding too easily to the Breeders' Cup Sprint? And, you know, I guess you could make that argument, but the thing about the sprint division, Bobby, is that there's just not much depth out there. I mean, who is Jackie's Warrior right now, like, top rival for the Breeders' Cup Sprint? You know, it doesn't roll off your tongue who that horse is. I would like to see Jack Christopher cut back, because at least he has talent, I think, to perhaps, you know, compete at six furlongs against him. But right now he just looks like a monster. And you know, Gunite, he's like falling right in his footsteps, you know, having won the hopeful last year. Right. Or I don't know. Maybe I may have missed that up. But, you know, he's just like he won a stake last year at Saratoga. And he was very gritty in that Amsterdam. And, you know, I thought that, you know, Chad Brown's winner of that Curlin Stakes really made a good appearance, you know, coming off a maiden win. And he has some upside. And of course, Epicenter. I mean, like, you know, to me, Jackie's Warrior has just been rolling through all these starts. And, you know, he's just not being tested. And he's all class and everything. But to me, Epicenter came back running. That's all you could hope for if you're a fan of that horse. Because theoretically, he's got more to offer. And, you know, running second in the Derby and the Preakness, he could be a lot better in the second half of the season, possibly, for Asmussen.
Is last year's Breeders' Cup Sprint winner, Aloha West, a horse that you think is a serious contender to go back-to-back?
No. I mean, he just hasn't run well this year. I think, you know, I'd like to see him, like, get a confidence-building win before, you know, I would think, you know, he really has a shot. I mean, there's a chance for sure for some sprinters to emerge. And one thing about these fields, a lot of them have been short fields with no pace pressure. And, you know, at Del Mar last year, it was a big field and he was being chased hard and he made the lead. I mean, he broke on top and was on in front. And he was just, but he was under a lot of pressure. So, you know, you get to Keeneland and perhaps that could happen, but there's also the potential for him just to get to Keeneland and just roll wire to wire like he has been in these stakes.
Let's go out to the phones. Tom in St. Louis. You've got Bobby and James on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Gentlemen, welcome to the happiest hour of the week. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good.
I'm going to build on something you said, Bobby. I might be the biggest least Rich Strike fan in the world. I don't think the horse should run at Saratoga in the Travers. I don't know if the horse could win the St. Louis Derby on that same night. That's where this horse ought to be. And then the claimant crowd. Put this horse in a spot where, I mean, you know what? He ain't Rocky Balboa. He didn't stand up there against Apollo Creed once and get the win and think he's going to come back and win a bunch more times. I think these guys need to be realistic. They struck lightning, you know, caught lightning in a bottle once. I don't think they need to do it. Run this horse where he can win a race, because I don't see this horse running the top five in the, you know, in the Travers. And you know what? I'll bet you a milkshake next time you come to town, Bobby, that he wouldn't win the claiming crown either. I just don't think that horse is you know, I don't want to be a contrarian, and it's a paramutual sport. But, you know, at some point reality needs to kick in. And, you know, these guys were very lucky to get away with it once. And, you know, everybody wants to compare him to Mind That Bird. They took that horse on the road show around, you know, through the rest of the year and just suffered one defeat after another instead of running a horse where he should win. We talked last week on the show about trainers wanting to protect their win percentage and sometimes won't run horses often enough or run horses in stakes race where they can get beat. Now this week we got the opposite, where this is a horse that's so far over his head, you know, you can't even, it doesn't make sense. Just my two cents, fellas. I'll hang up and listen. And as always, thank you for the show.
Appreciate the call, Tom. Well, first of all, I want to correct you on one thing. So Mind That Bird actually came back and ran second in the Preakness and third in the Belmont and then third in the West Virginia Derby. Now, he wasn't very good the rest of that year and in his four-year-old campaign, but, you know, he was no slouch. You know, he was kind of a he was a horse that nobody knew anything about and didn't look like he really fit when winning the Kentucky Derby, but he followed it up with three really good performances, including didn't he lose to Rachel Alexandra in that Preakness Stakes, James?
Yeah, he was running at her late. I mean, she was clear, like, in deep stretch, and he was flying from off the pace and got beat, like, a length. And then even in the Belmont, you know, he struck the front in the stretch of that race and then weakened a little bit, but he was still, like, right there, a close third to Summer Bird and that Pletcher horse. And then the thing, you're right about those efforts with Mind That Bird. I mean, he showed more class, you know, off the Derby upset. But the thing about him was he was a gelding. I mean, they had no reason not to keep running him where, you know, wherever they could run him. Rich Strike being a colt has like some stud value. So there is a point of diminishing returns where you don't want him to get too have too many bad losses, Bobby, because that could, you know, that's hurting the horse's value.
And by the way, Tom, there's nothing wrong with being a contrarian when it comes to racing. If we all thought exactly the same way, you know, you'd have 1-9 shots in every race. And this is what the game is about, is contrarian opinions. And, you know, sometimes I'm right, sometimes you're right, sometimes James is right. If we're all three on the same thing, well, that's not always fun, and it certainly doesn't make for as good a radio either. So I like your thoughts, Tom. I'm guessing the St. Louis Derby was never under consideration for Rich Strike. And let's face it, he's only had one race since the Derby. As much as I'm not a fan of Rich Strike, and I don't think that he's as talented as other Derby winners we've seen, he's only raced once since then. You know, we do have to let him kind of find his way out, and maybe he runs better than I think or than Tom thinks next time out, and maybe he either wins the Travers or, you know, closes and hits the board in the Travers, in which case I applaud them and my tail goes between my legs and I say I was wrong again. Listen, it is what it is. I will not be playing him in the Travers on top under any condition. Okay. Let's go back out to the phones. Vince in California, you've got Bobby and James on the BrisNet.com call-in show.
Hey, you guys. It's kind of I wasn't sure if I was going to call today. You know, Bobby and James, I don't know if I really belong in the game as a gambler. I hope somebody behind me calls in. On Saturday's show, I don't know who the gentleman is, but he has a thing where he gives out like a triple play. And I'm walking the streets of Saratoga waiting for this play. I get to my room. I'm showering. The play comes up. I get a pizza delivery menu, write it on there, carry that thing all the way to the track. I write it in my form, the second race. The gentleman gives the 5-2-3 in the second race Saturday. And I seen the horse shaking his head a little bit in the warm-up. I don't know what I was thinking, what I was doing. I was waiting for that play. I was waiting for something magnificent to happen on that trip. I didn't bet a quarter. And I hope you can help me with the gentleman who comes on Saturday because I want to give him his props. But the horse paid $45, and sure enough, it came 5-3-2, and the trifecta paid $7.50 for a dollar. I really don't know what I'm doing in this business because I love calling. I love being a fan. But I basically just cannot do anything right, and I'm just fed up with it. But I hope a caller behind me cashed on that, and maybe you can give me the name of that gentleman.
All right, so we're gonna grab that. Appreciate your call, Vince. And yeah,
okay.
The Twin Spires Triple Prey is part of the Equine Forum every Saturday, and there are several people that do it. I know James Scully's done it in the past. I think Joe Christofek is the gentleman who gave out the play this past Saturday. So, James, I know that that you speak with Joe regularly, please let him know that one of our listeners was paying attention and is very happy to have gotten that. But you see Joe Kristofek regularly doing the television hosting and handicapping at Churchill Downs and then in the wintertime down at the fairgrounds. So if you wanted to put a name to a face, that's who it is. And if you're a fan of Churchill or fairgrounds, you've seen him pretty much every day that they have live racing. I'm guessing Joe will be doing the racing a week from Saturday at Churchill too?
That's correct. Yes, Joe's the host of the Churchill Downs Today show and the fairgrounds show, like you said. And he and Scott Shapiro does the Triple Crown show as well. Vance Hansen has made appearances. He may be on this Saturday. And myself, so far. And I'm going to be working in the paddock next Saturday at Churchill for that million card. So I'll definitely see Joe. And heck, I'll text him. I was just texting him right now when you said it was Joe. So I'll let him know. And thanks to Vince. Vince, keep your head up. That's my one piece of advice. Step away from it a little bit and just sort of gather yourself and, I think like when I'm in stuck in a losing streak, Bobby, you just have to, I think sometimes just step away from it a little bit and then come back with a disciplined approach. And if you got to cut down on the amount you're wagering or whatever, so be it. But, perhaps try to pick your spots more and keep, like I said, maintain your confidence, because one thing about the betting on horses is that there's going to be ups and downs, and you better be prepared for both. And, it's like people always say, you can't get two up when you win, and you can't get two down when you lose.
Let's take one more call before we get our first break. Paul in Connecticut, you've got Bobby and James on the BristNet.com call-in show.
Bobby and James, this week's controversial call pertains to the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation's publication today regarding, I believe it was a pick four or pick five, where horses were being bet on well after an Ellis part of that sequence. 1 minute and 41 seconds was the approximate time, and they were still taking bets after that, and NYRA had to delay payouts. And I don't know if people are, in general reading this information, but I do. And I'm appalled at this. And I emailed the guy who sent it out. I'm not going to get into names, but to my knowledge base, and I'm coming a little bit clear on my background, I'm really not. My background is a business guy, okay? And I worked two summers, three summers, all the way to nine summers at Saratoga, and the mutuals department, and supervised clerks. And I saw everything that went on more than the average guy, because I was trained to observe. And at one point, there were guys fired for, I believe, not appropriately posting entries on the tote board under one of the tote companies. But this article exposed another example of where a novice was hitting the button to turn the machines down. And it gets into technology a little bit, but I don't think the average person should ignore this, because we're not talking about conspiracies and past posts, late money due to the flows of data. This is a blatant mistake that cost people money and may have aided people. And I wanted to know, number one, were you aware of it? I'll stay on the line for that part.
I was not aware of it.
I wasn't either.
I would say, okay, well, here's why I'm bringing this up, because the fellow that writes this, I have an utmost amount of respect for, and you might have heard of the entity, and I won't say his name, but I went at it with him at one point about the ability to understand, and I brought this up with you guys too, rebates, and I understand how rebates are in terms of, I know people at various levels, I can get the data, and then I could run them against the track take. And I went at it with this guy and said, look, there is a degree to which you have to do your own homework and understand this stuff. And he does agree. But we went at it a little bit. But I have the utmost respect. And I sent him a note today and I said, this needs to get out. And you guys have a tough job because you're in this business and I'm on the periphery and I bet almost every day. But this is inexcusable and this better be corrected. This is not a conspiracy. It's flat out incompetence. And I think people need to be aware of this. That's all I have to say. Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate your call, Paul. And for those of you who want to learn more about what Paul's talking about or what the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation is and what they're reporting on, you can go to their website, which is racingthinktank.com. We had Pat Cummings from the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation on a few weeks ago. And to put it very concisely, what they do is they are looking out for the betters, and which is something that betters have not had, to my knowledge, for the most part in our lifetimes in racing. I know there was horse players across North America, Hannah, for a few years that did some good things, but they kind of went away. But the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation is kind of a watchdog on behalf of the betters, and it's an interesting read to find out exactly what Paul's talking about with the wagering pools not being closed in a timely fashion in that cross-country wager this past weekend. All right, we're going to take our first break. We're up against it. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. 888-966-4776 is the number. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Churchill Downs will host a special one-day Arlington Million program on Saturday, August 13th. The nine-race card will feature the $1 million Grade 1 Arlington Million, along with five supporting stakes events, including the $500,000 Grade 1 Beverly D, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, with over $3 million in purses and over $250,000 in KTDF money to be distributed. You are not going to want to miss this exciting one-day program. For tickets and more information, visit Churchill Downs.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Counterpoint. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully with you until 7 p.m. Eastern time. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. 888-966-4776 is the number. That's 888-966-4776. James, in addition to all the great stakes races coming up this weekend, of course, highlighted by that big Whitney card on Saturday at Saratoga. One thing that has certainly not gone unnoticed by you and me, but maybe to some of our listeners, is the fact that there's a brand new Breeders' Cup future wager starting this weekend. The Breeders' Cup announced last weekend that, similar to those Kentucky Derby wagers, there will be Breeders' Cup future wagers both this weekend and the weekend of September 2nd through 5th, so Labor Day weekend. The wagering actually opens tomorrow at noon Eastern time and goes until 6 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday, and then the second future wager starts on September 2nd at noon. So I know you're somebody who never passes up a good future wager. How excited are you about this Breeders' Cup Classic future wager that starts tomorrow?
I'll definitely dabble some in the pools. You know, I'm the kind of person that, I pick like favorites in the Derby come Derby time, but those short price horses have no appeal to me in future wagers, even if you think they're the most likely winner months out and such. So, you know, I look at Flightline, it'll be fascinating. He's the 3-1 morning line favorite. I think he'll be a lot lower than that, Bobby. I think people look forward to betting him. I think, you know, the second choice is going to be between whoever wins the Whitney, or come like wins Saturday evening, Sunday during the final day of the 3-day wager. Whoever wins that contest will be a solid second choice. So I'll look at some of these 3-year-olds out in there that I like a little bit. You know, in terms of, because I just think they'll offer big prices, and if they run well in their upcoming starts, I think they'll actually be much lower odds come Breeders' Cup Classic.
You should be able to play this on any of the ADW platforms or at live at a racetrack around the country starting tomorrow, once again at noon Eastern time. We take it for granted that everybody knows what a future wager is, but just in case you don't or you've never participated in this, the pluses and minuses of a future wager are, the pluses are that a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times you'll get bigger odds now than you would on race day for the horses you like. The problem is that you're betting that the horse not only wins the race, but actually runs in the race. For instance, if you bet on Flightline this weekend in the future wager and he does not actually run in the Breeders' Cup Classic, you lose. You don't get your, it's not a refund situation. So, you have to weigh the pluses and the minuses. And if you're not somebody who's played futures in the past, you have to decide whether that's the way you want to go. And you're getting a good enough price now to risk the fact that, hey, we're still several months away from the Breeders' Cup Classic ever even taking place. Let's go back out to the phones. Bill in New York, you've got Bobby and James on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Bobby, James, as always, a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk with you this afternoon. I just wanted to comment on two things. Let me first say something about Vince's call. Boy, did I feel his frustration, and boy, did I have not hit a race, not one race at Saratoga so far this season, 3 weeks in. And I'm saying to myself, maybe I should give up this game. Maybe I don't know what the hell I'm doing, you know. But on the other hand, it is the toughest meet, at least that I play. But more importantly, the other comment I wanted to make, so I got away from Saratoga during the week. And on Monday, I hit the Manitoba Derby. On Wednesday, I think it was yesterday, I hit that big $250,000 state bred 8-1 shot at Indianapolis. And, well, I mean, you know, the horse that won today at the feature at Saratoga was a give me, in my opinion, Art Collector. But, you know, it just turns around so quickly. And then all of a sudden you start saying to myself, what an easy game this is. So, you know, it is a game of up and down. And I know, James, you said this, and I just want to reiterate my own experience and give Vince maybe a word of positivity that don't give up the game. You know, just keep plugging away, reduce your bets, as you've said, you know, get into a comfort zone where the money you're betting doesn't hurt you. And just, you know, it's the greatest game on earth and you just can't give it up. The second thing I wanted to bring up has to do with last Saturday's Jim Dandy Stakes. The race was only four horses, so a lot of people said this is terrible, right? I looked at those four horses. I thought maybe other than 20 Port, although I thought 20 Port wasn't so bad either, but you had Irad Ortiz, Jose Ortiz, Flavian Pratt, Joel Rosario, arguably the four best jockeys in the country today, all running against each other. And I was really interested to see how the strategy of this race would go. And I got to tell you, you know, Joel Rosario arguably may not be the most talented jockey, although I think he is. But off of that race, he reiterated to me he's the smartest jockey out there. What he did, taking that horse back and knowing that the middle of the track, at least the way I saw it, the middle of the track all day was the place to be. Even Jackie's Warrior exploited that. He was out in the middle of the track when he hit the stretch. You know, not that he wouldn't have won anyway, but I just wanted to know if either of you guys saw it that way, that you saw the bias that I'm thinking I saw, and that Joel Rosario, as smart as he is, was the one that took advantage of that. So I would just like to hear your comments.
Appreciate the call, Bill. Why don't you take this one, James? I know you watched that race closely.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, I'll reiterate what Bill said. I thought that was a great call, both points. You know, the thing with it is that early voting was drawn outside of Epicenter, and I thought Epicenter was going to win or run big, but I thought he would be forward, and if he wasn't in front, he'd be up close. But Bill's right. I mean, Inside Speed was not winning. That on Saturday was not strong on Saturday. And Rosario, like, really, you know, yeah, I think he had a certain level of confidence that, you know, he could have won, you know, regardless of tactics. And given how, you know, I agree with what Bill said, it makes sense, you know, given how he saw the track was playing, given how he rode Jackie's Warrior and the Vanderbilt a couple races earlier. You know, it made sense for him to put Jackie's Warrior, because while he was last in that race, he was never more than like three lengths back. I think there were maybe four lengths back tops. The whole field was separated by less than five lengths at every point of call. So he was always like in a striking position, you know, once he settled behind horses.
Yeah, I think also he's had an issue his last two starts in the Preakness and in the Jim Dandy, of not getting out of the gate very well. For a horse that used to break right on the money, for some reason, he's been a little flat-footed out of the gate, and it really cost him in the Preakness, and I thought it was going to cost him in the Jim Dandy, but he's just a really good horse. He's better than I even thought he was, and I always thought he was a pretty good horse. So I think he's got to figure out those gate issues, because he doesn't want to always be forced to be making up ground from the back of the pack, especially a horse who's shown in the past that he can be forwardly placed and very tractable if the jockey wants. And to your first point, Bill, I think you've realized this, not everyone does realize this, that an 8-1 shot at Horseshoe Indianapolis, or at Assiniboia Downs, or at Emerald Downs, or, you know, at Fauner Park, pays the same as an 8-1 shot at Saratoga and Del Mar. Now, maybe you're not playing them with as much confidence because you don't follow the circuits as much, or maybe not playing as much, but cashing is still cashing, and we've all been there where we get done with the day or a few days and say, it feels like I'm looking at the wrong day's past performances. I'm not even close on my handicapping. James is right. If you can somehow notice that before it gets too far along and either scale back or take a couple days off to kind of refresh, it seems to work.
Yeah,
well.
And just make adjustments, perhaps, you know, even to, you know, sometimes, you know, you get people that are really pushing like in just on the win and in the front end. And sometimes you might want to back these horses up. I've seen people talk about it at Saratoga, like, you know, hey, at other tracks, I like to, like, you know, really play strong on a horse, you know, just on top. And it's, you know, at these meets where they're more competitive, it pays sometimes to take a different approach than you might at other venues.
Believe me, that that worked out great for me this past weekend. I loved Accretive in the Amsterdam. I singled him on every ticket, every horizontal play. I still think he's going to be a really good horse. And I got to that race and I said, you know what? I'd hate for him to run second and run big, and I don't cash anything. And I backed into an exacta with Gunite on top. Now, it certainly didn't pay as much as I would have made if Accretive wins, but instead of coming out of it on a loss, I end up somehow winning a little bit of money on a race where the horse ran well but did not get the job done. All right, We're going to take another break. When we come back, phone lines are still open. Give us a call. 888-966-4776 is the number. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Churchill Downs will host a special one-day Arlington Million program on Saturday, August 13th. The nine-race card will feature the $1 million Grade 1 Arlington Million, along with five supporting stakes events, including the $500,000 Grade 1 Beverly D, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, with over $3 million in purses and over $250,000 in KTDF money to be distributed. You are not going to want to miss this exciting one-day program. For tickets and more information, visit Churchill Downs.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Back to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Phone lines are open. 888-966-4776 is the number to get in. Bobby Newman, James Scully. James, another huge weekend of racing at Saratoga this weekend. In fact, five stakes on their Saturday card, highlighted by a couple of grade one, in fact, three grade ones. The Test, the Caesar Saratoga Derby Invitational. Of course, the Whitney is always the highlight of the card. A lot of the same complaints this weekend as what we've heard already at Saratoga, that some of these high-level dirt races are long on talent but very short on quantity. We're going to get that again this weekend. You've got horses like Matarea, who is 2-5 on the morning line in the Test. You know, Warlike Goddess is running this weekend. She's going to be a big favorite. The Whitney, though, even though it's just a short field of six, I'm not really sure you can ask for more from the field of six. With the exception of Zoomer, who's coming off an impressive win against $50,000 claimers, the other five are all really, really good handicap horses: American Revolution, Hot Rod, Charlie Olympiad, Happy Saver, and Life is Good, who is your 6-5 favorite. How do you see the Whitney playing out on Saturday?
Well, I do think... you know, I do think Life is Good is going to show speed from his outside posts. And, you know, he could have some horses up there chasing him closely, namely like Hot Rod Charlie, who's drawn in post two. you know, has some class, appears to be, you know, doing well in advance of this, and he's adding blinkers. But he's going to be the speed of the speed. I don't think he'll be out there, like, winging it too hard. And, you know, I think a horse like Olympiad, and I've heard, you know, other people make this point, you know, one thing about his races at the open of the year with his wins in the Mineshaft, New Orleans Classic, and Ali Sheba, he was, like, up close, like, chasing in pretty soft fractions, I think, in all three of those graded stakes. But that Stephen Foster had a real legitimate pace from the start. And, you know, American Revolution is a grade one winner. I thought really ran a big race to be second that day, had a perfect setup, and Olympiad, I thought, really showed a lot of quality last time. Very encouraging sign. So he won't be far back. If he's good enough, he'll have every chance to win the race, and then I think he'll be up for grabs, you know, for the rest of the honors. But I hope to get an exciting stretch showdown between the two main guns, Life is Good and Olympiad, Bobby.
Olympiad in search of his first ever grade one win. Once again, as James pointed out, he's riding a 5-race win streak coming into this race. And Life is Good. Well, he's already proven at a mile and an eighth. We don't really think of him as a mile and an eighth horse, but he crushed Nick's Go and the rest of the field and the Pegasus earlier this year. So when he's on, he's really, really good. And we'll see if he's good enough to beat what certainly looks like a very talented field of older horses going a mile and an eighth on Saturday in the Whitney. Speaking of New York, we'll go back out to the phones. Steve in New York. You've got Bobby and James on the BrisNet.com call-in show.
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. I kind of wanted to go back really quick to something Scully said earlier about Jackie's Warrior and potentially the Breeders' Cup Sprint being potentially a walkover, which, you know, you're right now, Scully, because I don't think the sprint division is that deep, like you said, but I think going into this weekend, that's going to change because, in my opinion, I think Olympiad's going to destroy this field. Destroy, relatively speaking, because, you know, these horses are good. Life is Good is good. He'll be there. He'll be close. But like you just said, he's not a real route horse, a distance horse. He ran away with the Pegasus, but, you know, that's a speed-favoring track. I think Nick's Go is just a little over the top anyway and just not as fast as that one out the gate. And, you know, Nick's Go needs a lead. So, but, you know, you saw him overseas when he went to Dubai. He's just, I think when it comes to it, you know, push comes to shove, you know, he's a sprinter. And if Olympiad wins this race, I think what we're looking at in the Breeders' Cup Sprint is a rematch of last year's, what was it, the Jerkins, between Jackie's Warrior and Life is Good. So I don't think it's going to be a walkover at all, because if Olympiad wins tomorrow, like I think he will, I mean, there's no way they keep Life is Good on this path towards a Breeders' Cup Classic, do they? Like, at this point, you have to realize, all right, this is a sprinter. You know, he ran that massive race in the neighborhood. I think he's going to bounce off that race a little bit. And then you just got to target the Breeders' Cup Sprint, don't you?
I don't think so. I mean, I almost think, like, you know, his season and he'd be headed to stud, they'd have some convenient reason to retire him. I mean, he's earned $3.5 million and has a bunch of grade one wins. And yeah, I don't think they're cutting him back to 6 furlongs. I don't see what that would do for him to get to run poorly in that race at 6 furlongs when the whole goal all along has been, you know, to run him in the Classic. I mean, when he won that Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, Steve, I mean, they were full steam ahead of the Classic. And, yeah, the Dubai World Cup definitely took some wind out of their sails. But, you know, if he runs a decent second to Olympiad, I don't think they'll definitely give up the ghost just yet on two turn races.
Interesting notes there. I like Steve's opinion there. I'll tell you what, and Bob Nastanovich mentioned it in the race day show earlier. If you like anyone other than Life is Good this Saturday, if you like Olympiad, you're going to get a better price on them than you've seen in a long, long time. Now, he was 3-2 last time out when he won the Stephen Foster. I don't think he'll be as low as 3-2. He's 2-1 on the morning line. I think there's just going to be way too much Life is Good money in the race. And you know, American Revolution and Hot Rod Charlie always take money in their races. So if you're an Olympiad fan, you're probably going to get a better win price on him this Saturday in the Whitney than you've seen in a long, long time. Should be a really exciting running of the Whitney. Steve mentioned something about Jackie's Warrior going in. Before we go to our break, I'm going to ask you this, James, and I want your opinion after the break. And, of course, I'd love a big play for the weekend as well. Is there a path for Jackie's Warrior to be Horse of the Year in 2022? Don't want your answer yet, but think about that. He's undefeated thus far, probably going to run two more times this year. There's a very good chance he could end the year undefeated. Can Jackie's Warrior, if that happens, have a legitimate argument to be the Eclipse Award winner for Horse of the Year 2022? We take our final break. We come back. Phone lines are still open. Give us a call. 888-966-4776 is the number. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Churchill Downs will host a special one-day Arlington Million program on Saturday, August 13th. The nine-race card will feature the $1 million Grade 1 Arlington Million, along with five supporting stakes events, including the $500,000 Grade 1 Beverly D, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, with over $3 million in purses and over $250,000 in KTDF money to be distributed. You are not going to want to miss this exciting one-day program. For tickets and more information, visit Churchill Downs.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's edition of the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. James, heard you promoting Twin Spires during the break. What's going on over at Brisnet this weekend?
Now, we're going to free passport for free PPs on Facebook and Twitter for the Breeders' Cup Future Wager. The first of two Breeders' Cup Future Wagers takes place this weekend. Opens tomorrow at noon Eastern, 23 individual interest, and then the 24th interest is all others of mutual field. So if you want PPs, there, we have them free at brisnet.com. Check out links on the Facebook and Twitter site pages.
Unlike the Kentucky Derby future wagers that you know, maybe are 5-6 months in advance, I'm guessing the all others will not be as popular of a wager as when it comes to the Derby. You know, when everyone, not, we don't even know all the horses going in. When it comes to the Breeders' Cup Classic, unless it's somebody, you know, that you think just is going to make this meteoric rise from the allowance ranks, or somebody coming from another country that we haven't heard of, that all others doesn't seem like it's going to be the way most people go in this wager.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, unless it's, you know, you have a, I mean, they couldn't get every single three-year-old out there, but you can always have a horse like, I mean, where was Tiz Now at, yeah, at this point? You know, I think he is like Super Derby was like his first big win in September. So you could have, there's a horse, Actuator out there. Might not be able to get a real route of ground, but he broke his maiden at Churchill and then won the Indiana Derby. Perhaps he could like step up like greatly in the coming months, but it's unlikely.
Arkong would have been in the all others, but the problem is you would get a better price on Arkong on race day than you would in the future wager taking the all others.
All
James,
right.
Before we went to break, I posed the question, what is the path, or is there a path, for Jackie's Warrior to become the horse of the year in 2022? What say you, my friend?
I mean, yes. I mean, definitely. I think, you know, you look at these horses in the Breeders' Cup, this classic future wager pool this weekend, the top contenders, Flyline, Life is Good, Olympiad, Epicenter. They all need to keep winning, Bobby. They, you know, they can't, you know, get beat or you know, just like, you know, have, you know, an unfortunate, like, career-ending injury. And I think maintain their positioning. You look back in 2019 in that Breeders' Cup, he got there, and I think you had three horses that were really being billed as a breeder, you know, horse of the year hopefuls with Bricks and Mortar, Midnight Bisou, and Matoli. And, you know, it could be the same way with Jackie's Warrior, where, you know, you could get an upset in the Classic. He could continue to win out, like you're saying, and you know, just, you know, he wins it. It might be a close vote, but he could win a he could wound up doing so if there's mayhem in those races.
It certainly right now seems like it's either Jackie's Warrior or whoever wins the Breeders' Cup Classic. We don't have a, you know, the filly and mare division is a little bit more diverse. We don't have one filly or mare that's just dominating everybody else in the division yet.
Well, I'll just say this. If Nest won the Travers and then like went on and won out, you know, it might be a little bit interesting. You know, I might even run her in the Classic. So, I mean, she's like a filly that's a little bit intriguing, but that's a big, big, big if.
Yeah, it's a big if, and especially considering she didn't win the Kentucky Oaks, you know, which is to date the biggest race that she's run in now, of course, or that she's won. You know, she did not win the Belmont Stakes, so she does have a couple of losses, even though they were good efforts on her docket. If she wins the Travers and then wins the Breeders' Cup Distaff or Classic, she would obviously have an argument, but I think that would actually be more in Jackie's Warrior's favor.
Right.
Interesting, you know, we don't even know if she's running against the boys anymore. The Travers is just one of the considerations for Nest for her next start. James, we're coming to the time of the show where I know our listeners are hoping that you can put some money in their pockets. Is there somebody this weekend that you're really looking forward to playing?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Mountaineer. And, you know, I look at this West Virginia Derby. You have your top two favorites on that in on the morning line. We the People, 2-1 favorite. Simplification, 5-2. They're both coming off unplaced efforts. You know, definitely, you know, when they've been in form, they've run big races in the past, but I'm not convinced they're going to show up with their best efforts off their last efforts. I like number 3, Homebrew. I'm going to tout him. I thought that, you know, when he went into the Swarney Jones and he was favored in that race on New Year's Day, you know, it all came unraveled for him. Something happened that day. He needed like four months off. He's come back in the Oaklawn Invitational Stakes, looked good, you know, beating a suspect field there. I thought he really took a huge step forward in the Pegasus, winning by 5+ lengths. I think he keeps moving forward. Could be an off track at Mountaineer, but he's bred for the wet track, being by Street Sense and out of a Tappet mare. So I'm picking Homebrew as my pick on the Percent Collins Show.
Okay, so Homebrew 3-1 on the morning line, race number 8, post position number 3 in the Grade 3 West Virginia Derby. Race goes at about 5:35 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon. Good field of 7 gathering for the marquee event over at Mountaineer Park, the Grade 3 West Virginia Derby. $500,000 on the line in Homebrew 3-1, third choice on the morning line, James Scully's top pick of the weekend. You know, we haven't really talked about it much, but obviously Flightline is out there in the stratosphere, and he's preparing for his first time around 2 turns and his first time going 1.25 miles in the Pacific Classic. We saw the top local prep for the Breeders' Classic, for the Pacific Classic this past weekend at Del Mar in the Grade 2 San Diego Handicap, and it was a much stronger field than we've seen over the years in the San Diego Handicap. Several Grade 1 winners or graded stakes winners in the field. Country Grammar was in there, Mandaloon, Tripoli, last year's Pacific Classic winner, Senor Buscador, there goes Harvard coming off a Grade 1 win. Royal Ship ends up winning the race at almost 10-1. Is there anyone in that race that if you're looking at the Pacific Classic, you're thinking this horse has a realistic chance of beating Flightline?
Not really. I mean, you know, I loved your buildup.
Like we're about to get some great piece of some great insight here. No, not really.
I mean, I'm being realistic, but I will say this though. I knew going into San Diego, you know, Country Grammar had run twice before at a mile and a 16th, didn't have a win or a second in those starts. He's a long distance horse, pretty rare. His best races come at 10 furlongs or farther. He could improve off of that effort, run back potentially to his efforts earlier this year in the Dubai World Cup and the Saudi Cup when he was second. So he's a little bit intriguing. But obviously to me, Flightline, you know, it shapes up for him to have a clear lead at the top of the stretch. And if he can't get the distance, then that's really the best chance for the opposition. But I'm not projecting that, Bobby.
Yeah, neither is Juan Leyva, the assistant trainer for John Sadler, and the guy who gets on Flightline every morning. They've maintained all along, even when all we had seen was him sprinting, that wait till you see this horse around 2 turns. He's a router that is just so talented that he can win sprinting. Now, we're going to find out pretty soon because the Pacific Classic is coming up later this month, but going to be fun to see Flightline against Country Grammar and a bunch of those other horses. I would expect, it sounds like you would expect Country Grammar to move forward off that effort, that second place finish in the San Diego. The question is whether it's enough forward to contend or possibly beat Flightline in the Pacific Classic. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us today. Reminder, a big day tomorrow here on the network. Betting with Bobby, presented by Caesars Racebook from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts at 6 to 7 o'clock. Have a great evening, everyone.